This is Hard Rock, Cocoa, and Joe. Right now, old people
now
everywhere singing along. To lead us into our next segment here on our Food Time segment, this week sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant. It's holiday time on our Food Time segment. And this time of year, people are either passing along or preparing their holiday cookies. That is such a big deal right now, the holiday baking. We're going to do a full hour on that in a couple of weeks. But another tradition in Chicago is the Chicago Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest that goes on. And Louisa Chu, the Tribune Holiday Cookie Editor, is on the line with us. You okay there, Louisa?
I am. I don't know if I can claim a whole holiday cookie editor title. I'm just a little food reporter, but I totally remember Susie Snowflake and Hard Rock Cocoa.
Atta girl. Atta girl.
Totally.
Atta girl. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
they're Chicago holiday traditions, very definitely, as is this holiday contest with the Tribune. We've been talking about this as long as I've been doing this food show, over 20 years. Talk to me a little bit about what the contest is, because you must come across some amazing recipes, I would think.
Yes, we are so lucky. So this year's 2016 Chicago Tribune Holiday Cookie Contest was actually the 30th year of the contest. I can't say it's actually the 30th contest because there was one year where somebody thought it would be good to skip it, and readers protested.
Wow.
This is back, pre-internet days, and by popular demand brought it back. Basically what we do is we have an open call for holiday cookies, but not only the recipes, but the stories behind them. And so this year, like all the years before, people submitted recipes, they were voted on, we picked out at the end 15 finalists, and this year we also went back to a tradition which we dropped for a couple of years, which is that the recipe submitters actually made their cookies, baked them themselves in their home kitchens, and brought them to Tribune Tower on a Monday rush hour morning. And I am so appreciative of every single cookie that was made. So it's recipes that have been passed down through generations. Some of them are brand new. Yeah.
I would think that part of what's so interesting about this are the stories of tradition that come along with most of the recipes. I'm thinking you're probably getting a lot of, I remember eating this with my grandma, something like that kind of stories, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have had a few not only their own family grandma, but other families' grandmas. I mean, it was kind of funny, actually. In fact, one of our top five finalists who made one of my favorite cookies, because I'm a chocoholic, so I'm partial to chocolate cookies, was a chocolate cookie that was stuffed with a mini chocolate bar.
Mm.
I'm sorry, it was a pillow cookie, yeah. And so that actually came from a family friend who shared it, and it was passed on to her mom. And they recently reconnected with that family friend who was like, I haven't made those pillow cookies in years.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what a lot of holiday meals and holiday appetizers and holiday pastries and desserts, all of those things just bring back a million memories. But let's get to some of there's all kinds of great recipes here, but your third prize went to a Margot O'Rourke of Bolingbrook. Tell us what Margot came up with.
Well, Dean, I'm sure you know that brownies are very controversial in the cookie world because in the cookie universe, not everyone believes that brownies are cookies. We do. We're very inclusive, and we have accepted not only brownies but bar cookies. And so she made her family's chocolate glazed brownies. And during the holidays, she specifically glazes them because through generations, they've learned that when they normally make them, they had dipped them in powdered sugar, which she said wasn't good for fancy, like, velvet holiday clothes.
Very true.
And so, I'm sure you know. So those were our third prize winner, and those were wonderful. They had a really nice, like kind of a sour cream little layer to them.
Oh,
and
nice.
They were really wonderful. Yeah, terrific. And so she baked up a couple of batches of those with nuts and without nuts. She said that her kids didn't like nuts, like a lot of kids, you know, in the brownies when she was growing up. So she actually made four batches and brought us two of those to submit. And so very luckily, she was a third prize winner this year.
I agree with her about the powdered sugar, because often when you're eating really anything with powdered sugar, you wind up looking like Al Pacino in Scarface.
I'm sure that's what the family thought. Yeah.
Right. Second prize went to Laura Hill from Prospect Heights.
Yes.
A triple ginger fudge cookie. That sounds like heaven, 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 and heaven.
Yeah, I have to say that was her choice, but my favorite. So she actually had grown up with her grandmother's gingerbread cookies, which, bless Laura's grandmother, she said herself that they were a big family tradition, but they were maybe a little bit on the dry side. And so she actually is a food scientist, and sort of worked and played with the recipe and came up with this perfect, like, food scientist version of her grandmother's gingerbread cookie flavor merged with a fudgy cookie. So you got the best of both worlds. It looked like those, I don't know, you know, those chocolate crackle cookies that have become really popular in the past few years.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, when they first tasted those, they thought, oh, they're just going to be those, like, straight, super chocolatey, nothing wrong with that, chocolate crackle cookies. But they bit into it, and they're like, wow, that was super gingery, because there's actually chunks of candied ginger in there, too.
Right.
So that, yeah, was like an amazing kind of convergence of taking family history with food science know-how and coming up with a new tradition of triple ginger fudge. And that was really big in the newsroom, because we put out extra cookies and when we finally went to print. So those were really amazing.
I can imagine. That sounds like a great combination of flavors.
Yeah.
But the first prize went to an Ann Gillespie from Arlington Heights. Tell us what Ann submitted.
The Butterhorns, which almost did not make it into the finalists, because when she got the call on a Friday, she was actually out of town. She was visiting her sister in North Carolina. She changed her flight to get back early.
Wow.
She got back, and after midnight on a Sunday night, baked until 3 o'clock in the morning, because the batch takes like 3 hours. And then, and I'm sure she drove safely, into Tribune Tower with a batch of her Butterhorns, actually a few different batches. So these kind of are like these rolled golden cookies that have like a little jelly, traditionally her original family recipe, apricot jam sticking out of the sides.
Yeah.
And she's come up with a couple of different filling flavors over the years. Added cherry a couple years ago, which was really popular, she said. This year she started Nutella, which I love.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? She said that the grown-ups didn't like them. So what does that say about us?
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yep. But
those communists need to be sent out. We need to build a wall around those people. If anyone does not like Nutella, we are building a wall, and you're paying for it.
Right. And we'll eat our way through if needed.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to build a gingerbread wall around you, and you're paying for it. Wow. I can't believe. Well, you know, to each his own, I guess. But boy, these all sound so delicious.
They were so delicious. And we, again, appreciated every single one of the cookies that was submitted to us. We ended up having, like I said, 14 finalists who brought in at least 24 cookies each. We had 10 judges. We tasted within 1 hour. nobody spit, because, you know, people do that sometimes for the cookie contest. And we saved every single one, and we appreciated every single one.
That
and
sounds
they
great.
Were pretty amazing.
Now you have the recipes online someplace at chicagotribune.com, I would imagine.
We do, for sure. If you just go to chicagotribune.com/cookies, you'll see all of the entries from the holidays and a link to the story actually that was just recently published for not only gorgeous full color photos of the top five, but all of the recipes are chicagotribune.com.
That sounds great. Yeah, we'll also post them on my page at WGNradio.com. Louisa, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you can do
thank
it
you.
Again sometime. I so enjoyed having you on the show today.
Thank you, Dean.
It's a pleasure.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. And when we come back from the break, let's wash all these holiday cookies down with some really interesting choices of holiday drinks to serve at your holiday parties. That's coming up next, WGN. It is a foodie time of year. The holiday baking and all the holiday beverages, holiday parties. I wanted to talk about, freshening up your holiday parties a little bit with some really cool beverages. For that, we go to Maria Del Mar Cuadra, who is the author of books like Winter Cocktails, Summer Cocktails, and the Quinoa Cookbook. So nice to have you on, Maria. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Dean.
So you're having a holiday party. You want to do something besides, put a six-pack of Old Milwaukee in a ice cooler. you want to do something kind of special. So this is where we tap into your expertise. What do you suggest for something to make it really special and fun?
Well, one of my favorite things for holiday parties is punch. I think it's a bit whimsical and nostalgic, but it's also really easy to entertain so that you as the host don't have to be running into the kitchen or to your bar to be fixing individual cocktails. And I think just having a big festive vessel with really colorful and flavorful punch makes people start mingling and talking to each other, and it just makes for a good time.
So what would be in a recommended punch?
Well, one of my favorite ones is taking a classic chamomile tea, but instead of having it right before you go to bed, you can actually infuse gin or vodka with it, and then mix up a big batch and add some bubbly to it, and there you have a new twist on classic chamomile tea, but it's refreshing and it's light and it's a big hit, and who doesn't like bubbles?
So wait, let me see if I've got this right. So I get the chamomile tea. And how am I infusing it with, you mean just mix it with like a vodka, something like that?
So this is the only make ahead process of a lot of these punches and some of the cocktails in this book, is that you just find a plain tasting liquor like vodka works really well, and some gins work really well too. So what you do is that you add herbals, like in this case, dried chamomile and pears actually. You just add the ingredients to the bottle. They hang out, and then you drain it, and you can just save it for a few months and add an extra layer of flavor to your cocktail.
Wow, okay. All right. Because, when I think punch, I think, you take some, fruit punch or ginger ale, something like that, put a big blob of sherbet in the middle of it. The deal with that, right? Like good old-fashioned,
Made one for the summer cocktail book, so I didn't forget, so throw back to that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good idea. Punch is a good idea. What else? I didn't mean to disparage the Old Milwaukee because, people love beer at holiday parties. Is there some way to kind of freshen that up a little bit?
There is. And actually, when you bring up the Old Milwaukee, when you are having a party, I think it's nice to have a few different options for people who are drinking and even for people who are not. So the Old Milwaukee, if you have friends who are really into that, definitely have on hand in the fridge or in the cooler. And then some sparkling sodas, and there's so many nice varieties out there now that those are a good option. But if you do want to rev up your beer, you could have a shandy. And normally a shandy is just, you can take any lager, and then you put in some nice high-quality ginger beer in there, and it just gives it a really refreshing, light twist.
Wow, that sounds great. Okay, one more knock your socks off. How about a cocktail? Actual cocktail for Christmas.
Let me think. Still stuck on the punches because those are my favorite. But it's a really nice cocktail, and this you can also make in a big batch or just some smaller ones. Mulled wine is such a treat over the holidays, especially with the weather you guys are about to get right now. And people usually think that's a red mulled wine, but a white mulled wine is a perfect holiday cocktail. What I like to do is just simmer it with a few herbs like thyme and fresh sage, peppercorns, clove, and you can add a splash of pear brandy, and it's a really soothing and festive winter cocktail.
Any place special we can go if we want to check out some of your recipes?
So there's loads of them floating online, I think, but if you want to order the book, now's a really good time to do it. I love to support local and small chain bookstores, so they usually have a few copies on hand. Otherwise, corkbooks.com and Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Winter Cocktails, Maria Del Mar Quadra. Thank you, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you.